let's return to This Week in America. Here's your host, Rick Bratton.
Welcome back, everybody. This Week in America. Great to have you with us on the program today. Back with us once again is Anders Wennerström. He's coming to us from Sweden. His interest in writing began in his teen years, been writing poems ever since, involved in theater when he was in his early 20s. His books have been described as thought-provoking, riveting, even described as radical. He's a thought leader and a good guest in the program. Always look forward to having Anders back with us. The last time he was here, we talked about the book Another Side of Thoughts. And coming to us once again from Sweden, Anders Wennerström, our guest in the program. Anders, welcome to the program. Great to have you back with us.
Yeah, thanks, Rick. Hello.
It is always a pleasure. You do such really good work, and we'll talk in particular about a couple of the books that you've written since you were here on the program the last time. Let's first of all talk about where you get the themes and the ideas. I describe them as thought-provoking. Where do these come from? From experiences in your life, or where do they come from?
Yeah, why not come to the kernel immediately? I think that two important words here, German words, really, that kind of pinpoint my writing. And that is, in English, is the word is experience. But in German, there's two words for that, and that is Erlebnis and Erfahrung. And Erlebnis is this kind of experience of the immediate thing going on, the process that you're meeting at the moment in life. That is one thing. Erfahrung is more this kind of the facts about your life, the facts that make your life to a historical biography, you can say. And these two positions make my writing to what it is: Erfahrung and Erlebnis. And that is translated, both these words is translated to experience in English.
And you talk about issues that sometimes we're uncomfortable talking about. Explain that, and you do it in a creative way. You lay it out for us to contemplate and to think about. But these are issues that necessarily we really don't want to talk about. Describe where you come up with with the themes that you write about in your books.
Yeah. It's interesting. I think that it's very important to think the receiver of the message. You need to think the receiver of the message when you write something. That is really a key to every writing, to think about the receiver. That is one thing. You need to think, what can the receiver take? How much can the receiver take? That is key to all writing. But on the other hand, you need to push the boundaries for the receiver to kind of feel maybe a bit uncomfortable, really a bit shaken. But still not, you know, I don't write things to be hated. I write things to be liked. I like to be kind of liked. And that is, but as an artist, I think that as an artist, you can't just sit down and let things be enjoyed. It's not really just to be enjoyed and just let things pass. You need to put on your feet and really do the work, and that is to push the boundaries. And I think you need to have clear ideas for that from beginning on before you write, and ideas that you can put in a form that people can understand in a way, in their own way, I would say, in their own way. And so even though you say that I am a thought-provoking writer, I don't like to push away the reader, and I don't like to be pushed away myself. So that's but this is really a balance, that it needs to be balanced between these two kind of situations where you like the receiver to get what you're after and still shake a little bit. That's important.
Well, it's interesting because you lay these themes out there, and I, as a reader, as a receiver, may interpret and get something different out of what you're saying. what you are implying, the thought that you are laying out there, than somebody else, because of their life experiences, they may look at what you're saying and come up with a whole different interpretation and approach their thought process in a different way. Anders Wennerstrom is our guest on the program. It's Anderswennerstrom. If you Google him, you'll find all of the books. One of the websites is another site of thoughts.com. If you go to our website, thisweekinamerica.us, you can get information on all of the books. Another Side of Thoughts was the book that we talked about the last time that Anders was with us. His most recent book is A Mother-Father Complex. This is a book about love, and it's a challenging book as well. Tell us a little bit about this book and why you decided to write this.
Yeah, I have had a concept where I've been working both in Swedish actually and in English about my family, because that hasn't been explicit before. It has been about other topics when I've been writing. But I started to kind of dig into myself with the idea I have about my family and really my parents then. But that is one thing, because that is the background. Then you need to kind of evolve this background into a situation where you transgress this reality into a kind of fiction, you can say, a fiction that can balance reality with a symbolism, you can say. And that's where it starts. And the idea I had here was from beginning on the concept of money equalizing my father, the concept of age equalizing my mother. That was one thing. And then the other thing is that I have seen over the years when I have been in relationships, that my friends and I have kind of played the kind of mother-father situation with each other. And that is, that I think, thought a couple of years ago when I started this process, could be interesting to see more explicit how this situation where your lover becomes your mother and the vice versa, of course. So that is the symbolism in this that I remember when I was in England in the 90s and studied there, they spoke about every woman as a mother. Every woman, even children, they saw as mothers. That was the discourse at that time, when the feminists started to kind of grow and get into the notion into the notion of the academic world, and there started that idea. I took up and I made something about it, so it is a symbolism between lovers, and it is a symbolism between a child and a mother and a father.
And it is, I mentioned thought-provoking in the beginning with your books, and this is one. It's called A Mother-Father Complex. And information at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. There's a separate website for that, which is a mother-fathercomplex.com. If you're driving now and can't remember all of that, just go to our website and you'll get a description of the book and you'll get that information there as well. I want to talk in just a second here about the other book you've written since we chatted the last time. But I always think as I'm reading your books and listening to you as we're having our conversation, is there an emotional toll that this takes on you? I would think this would take a lot out of you with the subjects that you're writing about, and in a sense being autobiographical as you approach some of these.
Yes, that's why I write so thin books, because they are so exhaustive in a way, you can say. My books is not much more than 30, 40 pages something, and they are quick to read. I mean, you can read them in 20 minutes, no problem. But they are really Yeah, they dig out both the best and the worst out of me, you can say. So it takes some effort to do them. Even though I write very quickly, I can almost write a book over a weekend, you can say. That sounds maybe terrible. Yes. That sounds really terrible, I think, for people that do research for years and write maybe a novel over 1 year or something like that. And here I come and telling them that I write a book over a weekend. Yeah, almost like that. But then I have prepared in my mind for months, you can say, a long time before, and I process it heavily, you can say, and over different emotional status within myself and so on. So that's that. I do my work with myself continuously, and then the result is made very quickly. It's like an explosion, you can say. I just put it down, and of course I do a lot of editing, because of course my English isn't my first language, and it needs to be edited. So that takes more time to edit than to write the stuff. That's I have to say that. So.
Well, you mentioned the research, that you see people that, okay, it's time to do research on my book, and they go to the library and they spend months going back and researching and reading periodicals and that type of thing. What you're drawing on is your research is what basically your life, your observations. It's an ongoing. You probably earlier today had some thoughts going through your mind that could be fleshed out into a future book.
Yes. I take almost everything from my own life, you can say, but I think I have a technique. I make theories, discourses explicit in my text. So that is my research. That is where my readings come into my text. Yes. That I explicitly make theory to my own life situation, you can say. I make a theory to my own life, and that is the technique I have used all since I wrote Another Side of Thoughts. This theory is the foundation. No, my life is the foundation, and the theory is laying down my life on the paper, you can say. So I like to put it.
Yeah, and that technique is certainly relatable. Anders Wennerstrom, our guest on the program, talking about his most recent books. We mentioned Another Side of Thoughts. We'll touch on that in a second. The first one, the newest book we're talking about, A Mother-Father Complex. Also, since we were together the last time, you've written a book called Names Are Music and So Are You and I. Talk about that. This is a fascinating story that dates back to the 60s in a shared name. And this really, and again, yeah. Anders' books are very thought-provoking and very simple to read and will leave you with something when you finish on that final page. Talk about the theme in the book, News, Names Are Music and So Are You and I.
Yeah, yeah, that is probably the most provocative book I have written, I guess. But it's done with all the love I can put in here. The thing is that I read a theory when I was in Dublin, 2011-2012, that the philosopher Gheorghe Agamben put forth in 1995, and that was the idea about Homo sacer. And Homo sacer is the person that in the public opinion is dirty. And Agamben's interpretation of this man or woman, for that sake, is that he or she can be killed at any time without the perpetrator being punished. That is the situation for the Homo sacer. And there I started to think about, I mean, I use my family name here, this old spy history from Sweden with Stig Wennerström. And you can say he was at his time a homosaker, as this in the same way as this history of Julian Assange that I also use in this book is a homosaker, you can say. Julian Assange is definitely a homosaker. And then I put these two kind of personalities and these two persons as a base for my own experience as a homosaker. and that is of course very peculiar and maybe people can get suspicious about that. But that is a history of mental illness, simply speaking, and how you are perceived as mental ill and how you yourself think as mental ill in the ongoing experience of meeting people and being in different situations. And that's where this song, because I like to call it a song, it is a song that repeats names that kind of connote different things. You can say that I use this bullier in this book, this Eriksson, Svensson, and Larsson and they are synonym with everybody, really. They are the synonym of everybody. It can be anybody. That these three names are the most common names in the whole Sweden. They everybody is an Eriksson, Svensson, and Larsson. That is it. That is everybody. And that makes the bullier to anybody. I make myself my Wennerström name to this individual homosaker, because homosaker is always an individual that he or she is inscribed in society with the condition to be outside, and that is a really unpleasant place to be at. to be at a place where you're inscribed, but you're conditioned by being outside. So that's the whole concept behind Names Are Music and So Are You and I.
It is a fascinating concept. About a minute or so left, time going by way too quickly. The original book that we talked about a couple of years ago, Another Side of Thoughts, is still available. This is one that's written in verse, and if I recall correctly, this was the first effort you made into taking your work and then translating that into English. So you not only have the challenge of writing in verse, you have the challenge of writing in verse in what is not your first language. And that still resonates today, too. As you go back and you read that, it makes just as much sense. It's just as powerful today as it was when you wrote the book.
I need to correct on a thing there, Rick. You said that because I have seen reviews also talking about me translating from maybe Swedish to English, and that is not a correct description. I always write English authentic. I don't translate anything. I have to be really authentic when I write English. I can't use Swedish sentences or Swedish words for my writing in English.
Right.
That is really important here, because of course I can look up words, but not translate. Not translate at all. That is I think that makes my writing with English funny, and I enjoy it because it's my own English, and it's really authentic.
Yeah, and I guess what I was thinking with that is not translate after you're done, but mentally as you're writing, as you're developing this, because it is written in English, and that you did an excellent job with that, and writing in verse. Now, that's called Another Side of Thoughts, and the website is anothersideofthoughts.com. So I'm going to review the books here. The first one we talked about is A Mother-Father Complex, and the website is mother-fathercomplex.com. Second book we talked about was Names Are Music and So Are You and I. The website is AndersWennerstrom72.com. And I'll give you Anders' spelling so you can Google and get all the information. AndersWennerstrom. And the book we talked about before, Another Side of Thoughts. Anders, it is always a pleasure to have you on the program. You keep doing good work. I know you're working on new material, and hopefully we'll have you back and talk about that. Thank you so much for being with us on the program today. It is always our pleasure.
My pleasure too, Rick. Really.
Well, thank you. You're listening to This Week in America, website thisweekinamerica.us. Information on our guest on today's program, author Anders Wennerstrom. It's available at our website, thisweekinamerica.us. We're back after these messages.
You're listening to This Week in America with Rick Bratton. More after this.